A crusader in his own right. Look at that background there. It's almost like you meant to be here on this show today. Jesse Romero. Jesse, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, anytime. And you know that. Anytime. What have you been up to? I know you have a new book out. Well, you had one out late last year, right?
Yeah, the last one I had out was a Catholic vote for Trump, but that didn't go over too well. I give it the old college try, though, but hey, they stole the election. What can I say?
So now you're working on, now you and I are in a fraternity together, and a lot of guys are working on this, but you're the only one that I've seen that's out publicly with the AZ Rise Up against this satanic convention. We reported on this back in, I want to say October or November, when they first started talking about that they were going to do it. Apparently now they're actually going to do it. I got a note, I don't know if you know this, but I got a note from our friends at the TFP, Tradition Family Property. They're going to go out there with you guys. Tell our listeners, Jesse, what you guys intend to do. So this is this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
Yeah, it's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
February 11th, 12th, and 13th, the Temple of Satan has chosen Scottsdale, Arizona, which is in the Diocese of Phoenix. They've chosen Scottsdale to come to do a three-day satanic conference. First time they've ever done this in the country. They've done a lot of other things like satanic after-school programs, satanic coloring books, satanic invocations at some city hall meetings, adopt the freeway, the Temple of Satan adopts a part of the freeway to clean up, to curry favor with politicians, satanic nativity sets. But this time, this is probably the boldest thing they've done in the country. It's an actual three-day satanic conference with all the high-level speakers from the Temple of Satan that are coming into Scottsdale. And they've said that the reason is that they want to consecrate Scottsdale to Satan. And so, I mean, the cat's out of the bag at this point, Mike. We're not even talking. They're not even hiding it anymore.
Right.
I found out about it. I notified the diocese. And then at that point, I just began just gathering a bunch of lay Catholic men, generally men, and they started bringing in their wives. And we got a big underground network to say, we need to respond here. They're coming into our diocese. So next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you're going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of Catholic men and women. We're going to pray prayers of reparation.
Right.
In front of the Saguaro Hotel, which is in Scottsdale, Arizona, where they're going to be having a three-day conference. We're going to be praying strategically. TFP's coming down. I mean, American East Fatima, they're coming down. Michael Hitchborn's coming down. You got a lot of good apostolates that are coming down. There's going to be a LifeSite News is coming down. You got a big presence that's going to come down. But we're going to pray from 12 noon to 3 p.m. And we're going to be praying the four rosaries with a Latin Gregorian chants in between, St. Michael the Archangel prayers in between, Psalms in between. And the reason we chose to pray those 3 days from 12 to 3 is because I remember when I was a kid, Good Friday.
Right.
Every Mexican household, mom and dad says, you will do nothing secular from 12 to 3. Nothing. We will go to the church. We will do the Stations of the Cross. We'll take some type of book of the saints, Lives of the Saints, or your little Bible or your little missal, and we're going to sit there and spend time with Jesus for 3 hours with the empty tabernacle because he died for our sins at that time. And so in the Mexican households, that's the holiest time of the year, those 3 hours. That's why I chose those 3 hours to pray Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because we want to mystically unite our prayers, our rosaries, to the flow of Jesus's blood 2,000 years ago that was flowing from Calvary. It's going to give our prayers more potency. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more efficacious, and they're going to be more meritorious.
Let me just tell you, I have been with the TFP. We had an event here. It got canceled the last 2 years. Hex Fest, right here in New Orleans. And we went out there, and it's in August, and it's hot. We went out there, me and Mrs. Church, my wife, and about 15 men and teenage boys. We went out there the last time they had it here, and stood out in front of the hotel. Now they picked the hotel where used to be a convent, and Blessed Henri de Lille. That's where she became the Blessed. And then they chose for their meeting rooms at this Hexfest the most diabolical sort. This was an attack. They chose Our Lady's Hall, St. Anne's Hall, St. Joseph's Hall. That's the three halls. And we stood out there, and it was hot. And you got to give those TFP boys credit, man. They're out there in their suits with their sashes and a giant flag. And did what just what you just described and prayed the rosary for reparation. And I could tell you, now, I don't need to tell you because you were in a jail with Richard Ramirez. So you've seen evil up close and personal. These people will come out. They came out of the hotel and confronted us. But they couldn't get within 50 feet of us. The black magic satanic leader, he you could see him making a circle around his own, going like, he can't come near us. We threw the exorcism salt down and everything. It really is a powerful war. It truly is a war of good versus evil. I fully expect that some of these clowns will come out and confront you guys.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, these guys are, let's just be honest. I did some research on them, Mike. And these guys are friends with Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Mm.
And so, you know, they're also friends with the Democrat Party, by the way.
Mm.
That's why they've gained some sense of normalcy, is because they've hitched their wagons to the Democrat Party. And I say that because when you see a lot of pro-aborts at a lot of their events, you'll see the pro-aborts with their signs that say, "My body, my choice."
Right
next to them, you'll see a Satanist that'll have a Hail Satan sign. So they're basically bedfellows.
Mm.
So I let the Scottsdale Police Department know. I said, "Hey, I'm a retired cop. There's going to be a lot of men there. Arizona, again, this is a Kerry state. A lot of us out here are men of goodwill. We're men of faith. But again, we're also Second Amendment guys." And so I told the Scottsdale Police Department. They said, "Thanks for that information. That was very crucial." They said, "We're going to make sure we have a lot of uniform officers paid overtime on the streets all around you, so you can tap a cop on the shoulder and say, that guy that's flipping the birdie, that guy that's got Tourette syndrome, he's not a Catholic. Remove him." So we got a lot of cooperation from the Scottsdale Police Department and the city and the city council as well.
Let me tell you one of the things that they did to us. A woman came out already scantily clad. They're teenage boys here. I'm talking 13-year-old boys. Scantily clad, pulled her panties down, and then bent over and flashed those boys. And we're all sitting there, and of course, you know, the men are all, you know, telling the boys to turn and to not look at it. Straight up indecent exposure, but there were no cops. We called the NOPD, and they were like, "We're not interested. That's twixt you and them. Unless something happens, we're not interested." I'm heartened to hear that the Scottsdale PD said that they would assist.
Yeah, they've been very gracious since day one. Since I called them up and I called up the city hall, and I've been collaborating with them. I'll be honest with you. You know, it's kind of in my conversation, I can kind of tell. I can get the sense that they're actually happy that Catholics are going to be out there. By the way, Protestants are going to be out there as well. I'm getting a phone call by lots of Protestants. And they said, "Hey, we heard that you Catholics are going to go out there and pray in front of the Saguaro Hotel at their Satanic Conference. We'd like to join you." So what I did, I put up a website, azriseupfaithful.com, azriseupfaithful.com. And I have the prayers that we as Catholics are going to pray. So I have them posted there so people can start printing them out. When they go out there, they'll already have them. It's essentially, we're going to start off with the Angelus, 12 noon.
Right.
We're going to do the four rosaries. We're going to end with the Divine Mercy. In between, we're going to have Gregorian chant in Latin. We're going to be praying. And so the Catholics, we have our prayers already on that website. I also put, for the Protestants attending, I put a link there. I said, prayers for Protestant Christians that come to the assembly. So I'm driving them to the website. For them, what I did is I just put a bunch of prayers from the Book of Psalms, prayers from Exodus, prayers from the Book of Daniel that they'll feel comfortable with. So it's right there. They could print them out. They can join us. Because, again, Protestants and Catholics, oftentimes we have our own modality of prayer. But we I mean, we covet their participation. We're happy that they're going to be there.
Let me ask you, Jesse Romero's on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. What's the show that you host every day?
I do a show, Mike. It's called two shows. I do. It's called Jesus 911. It's a bunch of retired cops that are trad Catholics that come on with me, and we talk about all things Catholic, but kind of from a police perspective, using police jargon. You know, like 10-4, 10-8. We are EOW end of watch. So we got a lot of first responders around the country that, you know, that watches, because, you know, the guys that I do the show with are ex-military and ex-cops. But it was a total Catholic show. Then I do one in the afternoon with Terry Barber. It's called the Terry and Jesse Show, kind of like what you do. We look at the way the Catholic faith and the culture wars intersect.
Okay, so where can people find you at then? Which site?
People can find me at the internet radio site that I put up with my... It's called vmpr.org, Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
There you go.
Most Powerful Radio.org, Virgin Most Powerful Radio.org. Or if you want to invite me to a parish for a parish retreat or conference, you can go to my website, jesseromero.com. I also have my store there with the books that I've written.
By the way, you edged me out by a hair to go visit the Oratory of St. Francis de Sales in Sulphur, Louisiana. Because when Cannon Moreau said, "Hey, Mike, Jesse Romero's coming in 2 weeks," I went, "Cannon, I'm right here in Louisiana. Why didn't you invite me?" He goes, "Oh," he goes, "next time, next time." Look, Southwest Louisiana for trad Catholicism is happening, bro.
Yeah, that's. I had a good time when I went out there, and I just say, "Hey, man, you guys got Mike Church out here. Why aren't you guys inviting him?" They go, "Oh yeah, that's right, that's right."
I get snubbed again. This guy. Nah, I'm glad that you came, and I hear that they're going to invite you back. So maybe this time I'll make sure that I'm actually in town. we could go have a Tradcath brew or two.
That's right.
All right. So one of the things that I know that will happen here with this. Now I'm just curious. Is there a list of the people that people actually attach proper nouns to the Satanic Conference? Like, for example, I would expect for if they really want to do this and do it right, then someone like Marina Abramović would be one of the people that would show up for this. That yes. woman is straight up totally diabolical evil, and she is best buddies, BFFs with one Bill Gates.
Correct.
So who do we know that's coming? Do you have any names of these people that are going to put this diabolical event on?
Yeah, the guy that's putting it on, he's kind of he's the co-founder of the Temple of Satan. His name's Lucian Greaves.
I know the name.
Yeah, he's the main guy. He's hosting it. He's giving most of the sessions, and then he's got a bunch of other ones under. There's another one the other co-founder of the Temple of Satan. He's also kind of a big name. I forget his name. No, Marina's not there. I'm glad she's not there because, yeah, you're right. She's a high level Satanist. She's involved with the globalists. She's involved with the Great Reset people. She's a mentor to Hollywood actors and actresses, entertainers. And yeah, she's basically their spiritual director.
She is, boast and brag, she converted the woman formerly known, I forget her name. What's
Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. She raised Catholic. Her mother still claims to be, at least last time I read about it, her mother still claims to go to Mass. And that she was telling her mother, "Oh, Mom, you need to stop going to that Mass and go to the real one." She wanted to go to the black Mass. Marina Abramović is one of these, she is one of these people that, were he alive today, I forget his name, but you know him, the guy that was in L.A. that was having the satanic sacrifices with the kids and with the black, he was involved with the Black Dahlia, the doctor guy.
I forget the guy's name, but I know who you're talking
about. You know who I'm talking about. Isn't it interesting to, now you've been fighting this fight here. Where were you in the jail where Ramirez was? And I think you were in the same jail that Manson was in, weren't you?
Yeah, I worked the L.A. County Jail from 1983 to 1986 as a rookie Los Angeles deputy sheriff. The county jail, the L.A. County Jail is the largest jail in the world. It holds about 14,000 inmates. It's a city within a city. In that section of the jail, they have a special section It's called the Mentally Ill Offenders Unit. In that section, they have all the serial killers, the mass murderers, the sociopaths, and the psychopaths. A lot of them, obviously, they're pre-trial, so they're fighting their case. Some of them have already been convicted, so they're just waiting there for the Department of Corrections to pick them up and take them to state prison to do their life sentence or to death row. And so when I was there as a rookie cop, this is 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I spoke with a lot of high-level Satanists, and that's, Mike, that's what kind of got me started with my reconversion back to the Catholic faith. Again, I was born in 1961, so I grew up in the Novus Ordo balloon banners and butterfly culture, you know, of Southern California, which you know what that's all about.
Yeah.
And you know, the feel-good Catholicism and, you know, just, you know, forget about the rational intellect. It's all about the emotions and how you feel. Let's raise our hands like the Protestants. I grew up in that environment. And so again, when I was a young rookie cop, I would say that I was basically a low information Catholic. And so my first assignment was as a deputy sheriff, you're a high paid babysitter in the county jail. You're moving bodies around, putting them in buses, taking them to court, you know, pulling them out for showers and stuff, taking them to the yard to go recreation time, feeding them three times a day. You're a high paid babysitter because they're always trying to fight with each other.
Right.
And in the jail, you generally have in L.A. at least the big troublemakers. They're always getting involved in race riots. So we have the blacks on one section of the jail, the Black Crips and Bloods, and the Black Panthers. We have the white Aryan Brotherhood, Aryan Nation, Hell's Angels on another section. And then we have the Mexican Mafia and the Mexican cartels in another section. I mean, these guys are uber violent. You have to keep them separated. And we also have another wing for the Asian gangs, the Asian Mafia. And so the other people that are not really involved in these gangs, they walk in general population. But then we have a section of the serial killers called the Mentally Ill Offenders Unit. So as a rookie cop, I worked there for 6 months because you have to work in every section of the jail. And that's where I talked to Rich Ramirez, the Night Stalker. I talked to the Freeway Killers. They were also Satanists. I talked to the Freeway Slasher. I talked to several people as a young rookie cop. And I would see, Mike, I would see their dedication. They'd be doing push-ups in their cell and jumping jacks, and they'd be doing the sit-ups, and then they'd go right to the corner, and they would read a book. I finally asked them, I said, what do you read? They go, oh, it's a satanic Bible. They showed it to me. I said, wow, I didn't know there was a satanic Bible. Anton LaVey. They were dedicated. They would go in the corner. They would do chanting, and they would do hexes and stuff. They'd walk around in circles. And so it was those conversations that I had with these Satanists that I finally asked myself at the age of 21, 22. I said, these guys are more dedicated to the devil than they am to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I felt shame, and that was the catalyst of the way I started coming really back deep into the Catholic faith.
And tell the story just quickly, Jesse, of how you tried to convert Richard Ramirez with a hamburger.
Okay, I don't know if I tried to convert him, but I tried to. Here's what happened. I went to Holy Mass at 12 noon. I was working the 4 to midnight shift. At the second reading at the Novus Ordo Mass, I heard 1 Corinthians 12:3. It was proclaimed. It was read. The St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm a 21-year-old, feel good, you know, progressive Catholic. I'm sitting there. I start rolling my eyes right in the pew. I'm like, come on, anybody can say Jesus is Lord. That's crazy. That's not true. So in my mind, I'm saying the Bible's wrong. Anybody can say Jesus. I don't know. The Bible's wrong. Okay, so I'm arguing right there at Mass within my mind about the second reading. Finish Mass, drive to the county jail, go to work, clock in 4 to midnight, and then it was time to feed them dinner. The 200 serial killers and mass murderers are all in one-man cells, solitary confinement. So I said, you know what? I heard this reading. In my mind, I'm talking to myself. I'm saying, I'm going to ask Richard Ramirez. He's a satanic serial killer that's accused of killing 40 women. He's fighting his case right now. Heck, I'm going to ask him. I bet he could say Jesus is Lord. Hey, Ramirez, dinner time. He gets up. He walks to the cell because there's a little opening in where the bars are at, where we stick a tray for the food, and he receives it. And so I said, And it was basically jail slop, but it does have all the calories and all the nutrients that you need. But it's not exactly, you know, mom's cooking.
Right.
So I asked him, I said, hey, Ramirez, I said, how'd you like me to give you like a Thanksgiving meal? Because all the inmates know that the officers have a dining room and they feed us like kings. They feed us like royalty. I said, I got the key. I said, how'd you like me to give you something for the officers' dining room? He goes, you do that for me? I said, yeah, you got to do something for me. He says, what is it, officer? I said, can you say Jesus is Lord? He goes, is that all I got to do? Yeah, just humor me. Just say Jesus is Lord. Yeah, I'm just curious, you know? So he goes, and you'll go get me anything I want to eat. I said, absolutely, order up. He says, yeah, you got it, officer. It reminded me, remember of the of Happy Days when Fonzie
couldn't say wrong.
That's right. So I'm looking at him and I'm saying, okay, he's messing with me. Now there's two cops on both sides, you know, all because there's three of us that are feeding these inmates, and I'm like looking at them. They're like looking at me. Then I see he starts holding his neck. Like when you're choking, like you got a bone stuck in your throat, and he's choking. And then I say, and so I'm still looking, I'm saying, he's messing with me, he's messing with me. Then I see him turn red. Then I see him turn several shades of red as he's pulling down. He's trying to take something from off around his neck, and he's visibly choking. Now his eyes are watering.
Wow.
Now he's grunting and saliva's coming out. I'm saying, this dude is choking. He collapses to one knee, and I said, whoa. The two guys next to me go, hey, Romero, this is freaky, man. Let's go. Let's move on to the next cell. So we said, okay, we're out of here. We move to the next cell, and I'm saying, this guy physically, it's like if his jaw was immediately wired shut, could not say Jesus Lord. Kept on feeding the inmates. The next guy was a He killed like an entire family next door. He killed six people with a .22 rifle. I asked him to say Jesus is Lord. He wasn't a satanic serial killer. He was a Hell's Angel guy that just got mad at the next door neighbor and shot everybody. I said, hey, dude, can you say Jesus is Lord? I'll give you an extra meal. Sure. He said it. And so I moved up next cell. The other guys, they were murderers, but not satanic murderers. Can you say Jesus is Lord? Yes. Can you say it? Then I got to like cell number 7, another satanic serial killer. Same reaction that Richard Ramirez. Could not say the name of Jesus. I drove home that night. I was crying. I'm saying, Lord, I am so sorry for questioning your word. My parents told me that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've heard this all my life. And I didn't believe what I heard at Mass today. I drove home that evening at 12 midnight when I got off a ship, and I wept all the way home.
Wow, what a story. Jesse Romero on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. All right, from our chat room, I have a couple of questions for you. Jesse is one of the leaders of this Rosary Crusade against this Satanic Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona, next weekend. One lady wants to know, she goes, Jesse, is it true that the bishop is in opposition to your efforts?
No, not okay. True. So let me clarify it.
Please do.
Initially, the bishop came out with a letter, and he said that he recommends, notice the word, recommends that we not go out there, that we instead go pray inside the Catholic churches in front of the Blessed Sacrament in all the parishes. And to his credit, I want to thank him because what he's done, he's told all the, there's like a big rosary, a big prayer crusade right now. He's asked all the parishes to offer more liturgies, more sacraments, and have the Blessed Sacrament exposed throughout the day in all the parishes. He wants Catholics to go to confession this week, and he wants all the parishes activated with people praying. On those days, he wants all the parishes in the Diocese of Phoenix, the Blessed Sacrament to be exposed, and he wants Catholics to be inside praying. Now, he would recommend that we pray inside the churches. So, Mike, I had a meeting with him. I called him up. He graciously met with me.
Okay.
And his pre-secretary and my wife and then the bishop and the pre-secretary had a 90-minute meeting. It was It was the epitome of what you would call amicability, harmony, coming to an agreement based on Catholic truth, total respect for me, treated me with dignity, prayed before, prayed after. And he essentially said, he says, Jesse says, you know, upon discussing with you in the meeting, he says, I agree with you. This is a prudential judgment. A prudential judgment means that every Catholic must be able to make their own decision based on their own well-formed moral conscience, whether to pray out in the sidewalk or inside a church.
Okay.
So he goes, I'm going to leave that to every individual Catholic. Whether you want to pray in public or inside a church, that's a prudential decision. I, as the bishop, cannot order you or any Catholic not to go out there. I can only recommend that you go inside the church for your protection, but it's a prudential decision. At the end of the day, it's up to each individual Catholic to make up their mind. So that's all been taken care of in a 90-minute meeting that I had with the bishop.
That's really good news. Jesse Romero on our Dewmaker Skype line with us. All right, we have a priest who's a regular in our chat room, and he has a comment for you, Jesse. My dear friend, Father Glaude, he is in Ville Platte, Louisiana, near he was an hour away from you when you were in Sulphur. Pater Glaude says, I'm going to go out on a limb and calling on all my brother priests around the country to assist our brothers in this battle and be in solidarity with them during those 3 days, especially while they are praying. By placing an armor of St. Michael's protection around them, by praying the prayer of exorcism against Satan and the apostate angels composed by Pope Leo XIII, also known as the original longer prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. So Father Glaude will lead the charge here in Louisiana to pray with you guys in solidarity during the hours of noon to 3 Mountain time, so that will be 1 to 4 our time, which will be an hour ahead of you on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday coming up. So that's good. That's good to hear.
Yes. Yep.
And one of the other, because the TFP boys will be there, and gentlemen, one of the other things, and I know this because I prayed the act of reparation with them. I've actually seen it. And it's a very powerful prayer. And if you read it from start to finish as it was originally written, you'll understand why. The Lorica of St. Patrick.
Yes.
This is a powerful power. This is basically St. Patrick going up against the Druids, Satanists, pagan Satanists, and commanding them to stand down. And they did. Commanding them in all of their acts to stand down and to stop. And they did.
Yes. And Mike, here's what's important that Catholics need to know is that Catholic prayers, because they're based on the Word of God, Catholic prayers are much more powerful than satanic curses and hexes. If you're in a state of sanctifying grace, you are protected from satanic curses and hexes. So I'm asking anybody to go out there. We need serious Catholics out there. We don't need looky-loos. We don't need people that are Easter Sunday, Ash Wednesday Catholics. We need serious Catholics out there that live in a state of grace, because you are protected by sanctifying grace from hexes and curses. Secondly, our prayers, our Catholic prayers, are much more powerful than their curses. In fact, the goal of the prayers of reparation are threefold. Number one, a grave injustice, a grave evil is occurring against the holy God.
Mm.
And so we're doing prayers of reparation that God would have mercy on these people that are doing this grave evil. Secondly, we're doing also prayers of reparation for the protection of the city of Scottsdale. For all the people that have no idea what's going on in their city, our prayers of reparation provide as like a dome, like a protective bubble over them, because we're calling upon the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who has power and authority, coercive power and authority over the devil. And then the third reason that we're praying these reparation prayers is also we're calling the grace, we're meriting the grace of conversion from heaven upon these people, that the grace of conversion would fall upon this conference like rain from heaven. Because think about this, if 20 to 25% of Americans are baptized Roman Catholic Christians, that means that 20 to 25% of the attendees at this conference are Roman Catholic Christians.
Yep.
They sold it out in 3 days. It holds 500 people. They sold it out in 3 days. So that means that about 150 attendees or 125 attendees there are baptized Roman Catholic Christians. Well, guess what? Our prayers could have the effect of the of people's prayers they had on Blessed Bartolo Longo, who was a satanic priest. He was part of a satanic coven, and people started, his family started praying for him. His friends were praying for him. The rosary, prayers of reparation, and he came to a metanoia, a conversion, and came to a realization that worshiping Satan was wrong, and he came back to the Catholic faith and became an active disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent the rest of his life promoting the rosary, and he spent the rest of his life evangelizing Satanists. Our prayers falling down like rain upon that conference center could have the same effect. Imagine how many Bartolo Longos are in there that just need the grace of God from that we merit from our prayers to fall upon them, so their spirit can be quickened and they can come back to their senses and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a and this is the part where if you're watching at home or you're watching this on tape delay, this is the part where you should notice what Jesse just said, and you should take notice that Christianity does not convert by the sword. Those people are the most evil, diabolical people on earth at the moment that they're doing this. And yet, this man here, and there will be priests that will be joining you. Your bishop is supportive of the effort. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them because they don't know what they're doing. It's like our Lord on the cross. You know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That prayer of reparation that you're talking about, this is the difference. This is why you are a Christian. Whether you're a Protestant, evangelical, non-practicing, non-denominational, fallen away Catholic, especially fallen away Catholic, should make you very, very proud of the fact that you are baptized, or not proud, I don't mean that kind of pride, but you should rest comfort in knowing that this is something that you do in the affirmative as a choice. And you say to the evil, I don't want you to be evil. I'm going to pray to the Almighty God that you stop. And that you get on the right side. I think that this is key because the Satanists, sure as Hades, aren't going to be praying for us in the same way. They'll be praying for us to be damned and to ostensibly join them in their damnation. Big distinction there. And this is why, don't play around with this stuff either, folks. As my friend Ralph Sarcher, I know you know Ralph says, Ralph's not an ex-cop like you. Yeah. Ralph says, Mike, people don't understand this spiritual battle. Don't play around with this stuff. Believe me, you don't want them tracking you. You don't want a bogey on you. He calls the demons bogeys. You don't want a bogey on you, and you'll get one on you if you mess around with them and you don't know what you're doing. So be very careful. As Jesse says, the bishop is right. Go to confession this week. I'm going to go. Make sure you're in a state of grace so that when we confront this evil, they have no power against us. They don't. They're powerless.
Right.
You get the final word, my friend. Tell everybody all about the website, where to go, and give us the dates one more time.
AZRiseUpFaithful.com, AZRiseUpFaithful.com. Join us in prayer. The prayers that we're going to be praying are on that website. So if you want to say, hey, I'm going to print them out, and I'll go to my parish at that time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or, you know, if you're homebound, you can even, as Protestants call their rooms, war room. Get a war room in your Catholic church, build a sanctuary, and just stay there and pray these prayers along with us. Our peaceful assembly of reparation prayers will be Friday, the 11th, Saturday, the 12th, and Sunday, the 13th. We're going to pray strategically. It's just going to be like a Roman legion strike in and out. We don't want to give them more publicity than they deserve. We don't want to be there for 8 hours and 10 hours and the media come by and say, hey, what's going on here? They don't deserve it. It's going to be a Spartan strike. Bam! 12 noon Angelus, the rosary throughout, Marian prayers, the Lorica, St. Michael the Archangel prayer. We'll end with the 3 o'clock Divine Mercy, and we're out. I'm asking everybody to be armored up with sacramentals, holy water, blessed salt, so that we can bless the place that we're at right there physically, so that we're protected from their hexes and curses. And I'm also asking everybody, make sure you try to go to confession that week. If you're not in a state of grace, this is no joke. We don't want you there because your prayers are worthless. And the last thing that I will say, we've started a 9-day rosary to Our Lady of Guadalupe. We started it on the 2nd of this month. And so this is day number 5 or 6. Well, the 9-day rosary to Our Lady of Guadalupe here in the Diocese of Phoenix, she's the patron saint of the Diocese of Phoenix. He's also the patroness of the Americas, the patroness of the pro-life movement. And we know what she did 500 years ago in Mexico. She smashed all the demon deities of the Aztecs, and she can do that again, and she will.
You know, one final thing, Jesse, people want to contact you personally. Is there on your Virgin Most Powerful, is that?
On the website, AZ Rise of Faithful, my number's there and my email's there. On my personal website, jesseromero.com, my number's there and my email's there as well.
One final thing, and I noticed this since the last time you and I talked, and I hadn't noticed it before, and especially on these shows, my wife likes to watch these prison shows and how they got in prison and how they're treated and what have you. And there's a show on called, what's it called, The Deal? The fentanyl trade, the trade of how the fentanyl is coming in from Mexico. You know what I see in all these shows? Because I'm listening in the background, I'm reading, and she's watching it. Santa Muerta. I'm seeing Santa Muerta everywhere. I had never even heard of Santa Muerta until you told me about it. And now that my eyes are open, I see it. And every time I see it, I'm like, Hail Mary, full of grace. Just quickly, I say Hail Mary. I'm like, that person does not know what they're doing. With that sticker on their car, a tattoo on their arm. I mean, it's out there. It is bad. Bad.
Yeah, it's Santa Muerte, the bishops in Latin America put out an official statement probably over a decade ago. It's the devil. It's Satan himself. And so they're calling all Catholics. No Mexican can have anything to do. It's not a Catholic saint. It's not part of the economy of the Catholic Church. It's the devil himself that they're worshiping. And that religion was started, it's a religion now, it was started in the 60s, but it's really grown, it's taken a life of itself in Mexico, because it was started and it's perpetuated by the Mexican cartels. And it's easy to recruit people, because here's what they do. What they'll do is they'll say, they're so wicked, they'll get a young boy, 13, 14, in the barrio there, in a pueblo town, and they'll say, you're poor, you don't even have shoes on. You don't even, have a bed to sleep in. Here's the Bible. Why don't you pray one of the Psalms and see what your God does? See if your God will give you a bed. See if your God will give you shoes on. See if your God will give your dad a job. Here, read it. So, okay, the cartel's around you. They read Psalm 23, Psalm 91. What's the matter? No bed. Your dad's still unemployed, right? You guys are still starving. Okay. Say these prayers of Santa Muerte and see what happens. Okay, remember, this is a simple 14, 15-year-old boy. This is the way they recruit. They start saying the curses from the Santa Muerte manual. Hmm. And then the people, the cartels start saying, hey, boom, here's $1,000. I was moved in my heart. Your dad needs a job? Tell him to give me a call. Hey, you need a bed? We just bought you one. Mike, this is wicked what they do. But this is how they recruit Mexican Catholics. And this, it's a psychological manipulation by breaking them down, by making them read the Word of God and saying, has anything changed? No. Okay, watch the way your life is going to, your fortune's going to change. Read this and say this prayer to Santa Muerte and watch what happens. They say it, boom, they drop $1,000. Hey, where did that come from? Hey, that's yours, young man. These guys are wicked, Mike.
Yeah. And a final note here. The guy that used to be a neighbor here when I first moved in 2006, his name was Jesse. His dad was a Cuban expat. And his dad would tell him the story of how the communists did this. They go into the classrooms in Cuba and they ask all the kids, you know, if they were well fed and they had this and that. The other kids would all say no. And then he'd say, well, why don't you say a prayer to your Catholic God right now and let's see what happens. And they bring ice cream in. They say, would you want ice cream? And well, let's see. Say a prayer to your Catholic God and see if your ice cream appears. And it doesn't. Then you go like, now say to Santa Muerta. It wasn't Santa Muerta. Basically, a pledge to the communists. And then all of a sudden, they'd wheel the ice cream truck in there. And you go like, you don't have a God. You don't have a God. Premier Castro is your God. The Communist Party is your religion. Now, do you want some ice cream or not? Of course, they'd also. This is how they converted these children. And Jesse's dad told him the story. He goes, oh, don't ever buy the propaganda. Don't ever. There is no such thing as a free lunch. I think that may be where it came from. All right, Jesse, thank you so much for your time and for all the great effort. I We will continue to promote this this event here and to encourage people to go to their priest and say locally, can we go to the church, Father? Will you come? Maybe you'll come and lead us in the opening prayer. To go at, again, it's noon Mountain Time, so that will be 1 p.m. Our time here, Central Time. That'll be 2 on the East Coast. To be in solidarity on the 11th, 12th, 13th, right? 11th, 12th, 13th. Yes, that's 13th. Next weekend, yes. Against the Satanic Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona. God bless you, brother. Always good to see you, man.
Thanks, Mike. We'll have to do it again. Thank you very much for having me on.
Anytime. You know it, too. All right?
God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too, brother. All right. That's the one and only Jesse Romero there.